You're not going to be spending the next 10 years talking to people about how to automate and grow their existing businesses. You're going to be teaching them, and not teaching, but working with them and helping them implement radical changes
for sure
in your entire business model, because it's so overdue.
Yep. This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Tim Allison from Screw the Naysayers, one of the easily the least controversial name of any podcast I've ever been on in the past. Tim, thank you so much for being my guest.
Michael, it's always fun talking with you, man.
Now we kind of went off on a tangent before this. So we were talking about how disruptive the times are, and you know, kind of, it feels like the catalyst of this is COVID and the coronavirus, but I think we both agree that things are going to change for the future in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah. I almost have a different view of it too, Michael, even at that. I mean, I know that we're going to say it's the, you know, it's COVID and, you know, and the virus and all that, but it's come up on my show with a number of guests, and I've sort of thrown this theory around, and people like Jack Canfield have agreed with me. I mean, I really believe, a lot of us really believe, that the whole world, Michael, somebody had to hit the reset button, because we were out of control. We were destroying we're destroying our environment.
Okay.
We're trying to pretend that, you know, that it doesn't matter, and that money and jobs are more important than, you know, at all cost, at any cost. I love money and I love jobs. I mean, I'm not against them, but, and we also had so many people running around like crazy in what are traditional business models in virtually every industry. So like even what we said a little bit off, you know, off air, I mean, you're not going to be spending the next 10 years talking to people about how to automate and grow their existing businesses. You're going to be teaching them, and not teaching, but working with them and helping them implement radical changes
for sure
in your entire business model, because it's so overdue.
Yep,
it's crazy.
Sense.
Like, the technology has advanced, but our applications of it are just, in particular, you know, in terms of, you know, the ways to be reducing travel and to be corralling. We talked a bit about education. There's two groups there. There's two groups there that ought to be pretty scared. First of all, we're seeing, you know, our public school systems are being completely exposed as being nothing more than babysitting institutions. And I'm not blaming this on the teachers.
Yeah, it's a virtuous cycle, right? It's like, it's not about teachers, and they can use the pity of the teachers, but those teachers are in a bad system too.
No, exactly. I don't blame the teachers at all. They're being, you know, they've been put into a system where they're trying to stick everybody, you know, into the same hole, but at the same time, now they're also being told to accommodate everybody's differences. And it's creating impossible classrooms and everything. But the whole model is about compliance. It's about, why do I need a person to stand there in front of me and teach me things that I can find for free, or I could get the, maybe not quite for free, but I could get the best expert
sure.
in the world to teach me calculus for a small amount of money.
I think you're hitting it on a theme that, you know, is really important, which is, I think we've all been complaining and saying this model is garbage. Right? Like, this is an old model, and it's training people for things that don't exist anymore. And what you hit on the head is a couple of interesting things. One, when I said this to my sister the other day, who's got two, you know, my two boys at home, and she's like, they're loving this. It's so much better.
Yeah.
Like, they're done school by noon, doing the same work. And their teacher, she goes, their teacher is so much better by Zoom. She goes, normally she's terrible in the class. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, she's now in front of a camera, and she's like more engaging.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre, right?
Yeah. And you know, we're using schools to house our kids during the day a lot.
Right.
And of course socialization is important, but there are so many ways to create socialization opportunities for kids. And
there's no shortage of socialization for kids. It's the opposite.
Exactly. And then the other group, the group that needs to be terrified, are the higher education, the four-year colleges.
Good.
Because, you know, they're still charging the same amount of money, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is switched to, you know, to online, which is, you know, really, you know, I mean, how different is it anyway? The guy was, gal was at the bottom of a lecture theater with hundreds of people in the room, not answering individual questions anyway.
Right.
And you know, people are going to not lose their credits. They're going to graduate. They're going to be told everything's fine. people in last year of high school are being told, at least up here in my province, they've been told there'll be no final exams. Sure. They haven't officially said they won't be going back in the classroom, but even if they do, they're not going to have to do any exams. And they will all graduate. Every single person's going to, you know, not be held back. They'll move up a year, regardless of if where they were. People that will graduate will still get into colleges and universities because guess what? Those colleges need those bodies.
Yeah, they need the pipeline.
Pay them the revenue.
Exactly.
And that's all that they are. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's a virtuous cycle, right?
It's nuts. And then the other one that I'm thinking a lot about is and it's because it's near and dear to my heart, because one of the positive things for a podcaster like me, like I'm almost a full-time podcaster. I'm doing now publishing episodes every other day.
That's awesome. You know,
which is a pretty, but it's great. But here's the thing, Michael, I'm getting people on my show, people like Jack Canfield and, Mark Victor Hansen and Michael Hyatt.
Michael Hyatt was awesome.
I spoke with, it's not up yet. It won't be for a while because she's got a book coming out, but I had Kelty McKnight, who's, on Entertainment Tonight, five nights a week. And these people are making themselves available, and what they're discovering is that, you know, being home, you know, Jack Canfield came flat out and said he's looking to move most of his training from live over to some form of, online delivery. He said, I've done some before, but nothing what I should have been doing.
Yeah.
And people are realizing, like, well, why, if I want to present to a conference in San Francisco, why do I have to get on a plane and fly from the East Coast to the West Coast and bundle in all those costs, you know, and everything else, when I can probably do that from right here? And it's getting so much better. Like, you know, I was telling you before the show, Mark Victor Hansen was saying that with 5G, and he's really monitoring this technology, he thinks the 20s is going to be see an explosion of business opportunities.
Probably. Oh, for sure.
An explosion. And he was talking about how he was at an event at the Lutheran church. He described it as the Catholic light. But they had an avatar, a virtual avatar of Martin Luther, that had been pulled up from a 5G phone. And you can apparently expand this thing to whatever size you want. So if you want him, if he's normally 6 feet tall, you make Martin Luther 6 feet tall, whatever it is.
Hologram.
It's the kind of stuff we see in the sci-fi movies. It's here.
It is here.
So if you can drop that, you know, or even in one-on-one coaching, imagine that, like, we're doing it this way. But can you imagine if you could be not having to focus on your computer, but you're sitting there I'm reclining back now. You're reclining back and you're having a conversation and you're looking at a human being, you know, and at the damn thing's talking back to you. I mean, the hardest part, I think, right now for everybody is that we're surrounded by the reality of very difficult situations.
Right.
You know, we can't. I spend a lot of time talking about mindset, and it's. I get really pissed off when people say, "Well, just focus entirely on the positive and pretend everything is great." You can't pretend everything is great because for a lot of people, it's not great.
Sure.
Some people have very legitimate concern about loved ones. Who are going to be facing, you know, potential health consequences and maybe death. That's a very real threat, especially if you have, you know, parents in senior homes.
I was telling my father-in-law last night, they have a habit of going to the hospital. Like, it's a habit, right? And I'm like, cancel all that. Like, you're going to go there and get sick.
Yeah. Not even allowed here in Canada right now. You can't go to a hospital. You can't even visit. and the same thing with, you know, people that might have lost their jobs or businesses that, look, some of our businesses aren't going to make it. It's just the reality, despite best efforts and everything. I mean, we have to acknowledge that. So I don't underestimate any of that, but we do have to, once we sort of accepted those realities, we got to say, well, history tells us one thing about these kind of times. Massive fortunes are going to be built, you know, that are starting right now.
So I think that, you know, I reference in my book, and I'm writing another book, by the way, I'll tell you about, but in my first book, I referenced the work of Peter Diamandis a little bit. And Peter talks about 6 exponential technologies. And he's gone so far along with Ray Kurzweil to say, here's 20 trends of these 6 technologies converging in different industries. And I think we're seeing it happen right before our eyes. And that's why I say that COVID's really just the catalyst.
It is.
Because I think it's now making people realize certain things, like, going to an office sucks. Commuting sucks. you're an adult and you're going to be, if you're evaluated on whether you're doing your job or not versus whether you're sitting in a chair and what has value as far as work. And then to your point, like there's 20 opportunities he's defined in those trends that are all Google size opportunities.
Yeah, they are.
That's kind of the way he describes it, right?
Yeah.
They really are. I think the number one task of every entrepreneur, and before this, but now for sure, is to say, how do I solve my customer's problem with one of these technologies and capitalizing on the trend? That's the number one job.
That's 100%. But what makes it hard is that, you know, we're not disciplined, you know, to think disruptively. I mean, I know, right. I hate to use that word because
it's totally what it is.
Overused, but that's really what we need to do right now. And sometimes we may not, in my experience, a lot of times people haven't even properly defined the problem, Michael.
Well, that's, like, you know, the problem might change now.
Exactly. And its complexity or its nature or, you know, what was a problem may no longer be a problem, and something that wasn't a problem could now be a big problem. I mean, we just have to look at how all of this is impacting whatever industry or sector or type of client you're working with. How are they being impacted?
Right.
How are their lives changing? What kind of business challenges are being created for them? And how could we find opportunities? It's the other thing that history also tells us, it's going to clean out the average companies. It's just going to wipe them right off the map.
Sure.
I mean, Seth Godin said on my show that, you know, the days of of selling an average product and an average product are gone. And they really are.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think
you have to be.
Nostalgia is our biggest threat right now.
Yeah.
It's adhering to old ideas and thinking that once this is over, they're going to work. And old structures and thinking that's the way things have to be. Like, we've kind of got to your point, somebody kind of hit the reset button or something did, whether it's, you know, whether you think it's nature or it's engineered reality.
Doesn't matter, really.
There's a collective recognition. Everyone's at home. They've lost some freedom and control, but then they've also gained some time control.
Which is unprecedented, you know, certainly for the younger generations.
For sure.
I mean, growing up, I had a little more luxury of time than I think a lot of people today. But I mean, you know, everybody always would have said that I all these things I want to do, but I don't have the time. And, you know, time is, and in fact, I've talked about it on my show quite a bit too. I mean, it saddens me a lot, actually, because one of the things we're discovering here is that a lot of people, Michael, have forgotten how to be comfortable when they're just by themselves. They're not able to be alone without getting all squirmy. And,
for sure.
And that's a real problem, because the only place where we're going to really find these creative ideas, or maybe we're just going to discover that we've been doing the wrong thing. You know, that when we get a chance to really step away and reflect and say, well, you know, I might be making some money or had been making some money at doing this, but is that really how I want to spend the rest of my working time, or is there something else? And if we look around at problems and things we're passionate about, we may just have all sorts of ideas popping into our head, you know, about different things we could be doing.
Well, and, I think
right now everybody should be trying to start a business.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I think what everybody has is they've got a window, and like, I don't, just based upon my experience of our team in China, like, we've got a team of 14 people. Everyone's been quarantined since January. Yeah. And things just opened up this week. So that's 3 months. They've been sitting there for 3 months. Now, they're all developers. So they could keep working just like I can keep working. And if people are now suddenly home for 60, 90 days, which is going to be the reality, it's probably been, two and a half weeks so far?
Yeah.
So and it's going to go to the end of April. And I got a bad news for you. It's probably going to go to the end of May.
Well, Michael, up here in Canada, I can tell you that, you know, and this is coming from the West Coast, but I think we're all, the BC in British Columbia, they've already, the medical folks have already said there's almost zero chance of the self-isolation policies being changed at the end of April.
Yeah,
No way. We're talking at least another couple months. It could be. We don't even know how
for
long.
Sure.
It's going to be.
But I think the point is that now you've got this downtime. Some people are still working, and you're the fact that you're able to go home and work is validating that you're probably in a gig that can be done remote and still will align in the next world. because yes. you know, come July, so you can evaluate that. And then a lot of people are based upon or working in industries based upon physical locations, butts in seats, moving people around. And they're the ones under stress right now, unfortunately. But they're going to sit there. They're going to figure out and adapt, right? They're going to be like, well, what can I do? What am I interested in? What does this give me time to do? And I think to your point, Tim, this is the time to evaluate that. You're never going to get this chance again. And hopefully you come out on the other side, because I think there's wonderful opportunity to do whatever you want to do and make money at it. Like there's platforms that didn't exist 10 years ago, right? Like things like Upwork and Etsy, you know, there's Instagram, like all those are tools that you can use to monetize almost anything if you really focus on it.
But you know what, one of the things that I think right now people should also be looking local. Because I think one of the things that's happening here is we're gonna come out of this with a stronger sense of community, and a desire to help the people that are around us. Yep. And so, like, I agree. Like the podcast, you know, that goes global and all that kind of stuff. But I believe that there's all sorts of niche opportunities in our local communities as well. You know, that are gonna, like, what could I do just to help somebody right now?
Yep.
Like, if just look around and say, who needs help? Is there something that I could do? Either now or as soon as we get, you know, released from the confines of our home, is something that I could do. Because sometimes really big businesses grow out of, you know, finding a, you know, a local application, something that, you know, that, you know, has, you know, that works for you. So, I mean, there's just, it's just really, I mean, I don't want to say, I'm not excited. I don't like when people say, oh, I'm so excited about this. Well, who could be excited about?
You're not excited about death and sickness.
No, about what's going on. I can't be. But
there is something to be excited about.
There is, from a, you know, if you can stay safe and your family can stay safe and you use the time.
That's the key.
And, you know, and I'm not one of these people who are going to say, you know, never turn on Netflix or something like that, because I also believe that, you know, you need time as your family or whatever. You want to have some time to, you know, just sometimes, you know, I know me, man, I can't have my brain operating on business cycles and things like that all the time. Right. I do need, and if we don't have the kind of releases that a lot of people had, like in the cities, you know, it's getting really bad because people can't get out and even get fresh air and exercise and, you know, do those kind of things. I live in the country. So my wife and I we used to go to a local cafe, Michael, every morning around 11, and I'd have a coffee date with my wife. It's one of the things, she's retired, and I said, well, I'm going to work, but I'm going to take a, well, the cafe, of course, is closed, but, you know, we still make I get an herbal tea, she gets a coffee, we get in the car, we drive down, we look at the ocean.
Right. And, well, I live in California, obviously, and everyone's walking three times a day, two times a day. Anyone that has dogs, which is a lot of people,
yes,
you know, they can go out and walk the dog, right? And everyone is socially distancing where we are.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting about what you're saying is there's going to be a lot of people coming out of this with abs. And they never had that before. And that's a symptom, right? Which is like your body is sick for a reason before and now it's better. Are you going to want to give that up?
Yeah,
to go back into an old system. And I think it's strange, but a lot of people are going to evaluate that.
Oh, for sure. No, there's not. Look, if we're not using this opportunity, if every single human being that's impacted is not using this opportunity to ask those kind of questions, to ask, like, what are the things that I did here? And it surprised the hell out of my family, because I'm known to love a glass of red wine, a good glass of red wine. It's at this stage in my life, I mean, we've traveled the world and I enjoy it and all that. But, you know, almost 4 weeks ago when things started to go south, I said to Debbie, I'm not going to drink until we come out the other side of this. It's not because, you know, for any other reason that I wanted to be really not giving myself any opportunities to sort of, you know, have a glass of wine because it was a bad day or something like that, or because there was gloomy news on the TV and get alcohol, which was just going to, you know, and I'm not telling others to do it, but I did that. And now, we used to go up to restaurants 3-4 times a week, to be honest, lunch or dinner or something like that. Of course, we're cooking all our home meals.
Everybody's cooking.
And so, you know, we're eating healthier.
Yeah,
for sure. Losing some weight. I'm not drinking. Sure. Debbie's walking the dog like crazy, like as you said, all these kind of things.
Right.
So if somebody says, I got to give all that up.
Air pollution down, water pollution down, like.
Oh, so needed.
There's definitely a lot of interesting benefits. And because someone that's been working out of the house for like 10, 15 years at least, probably more than that. it wasn't an adjustment for me. So I see people, and I've just been quiet because I can see that people are outwardly struggling on social media with the change.
Yeah.
But then I think now it's like, well, I kind of like parts of this. And I think people are realizing that. And once, you know, once we blast, I mean, we may never forever, I think eventually there'll be a vaccine and we don't have to sit there with the threat of, you know, viral war in our body going forward. But I think that there's a lot of things that people are going to come to this awareness of, and they're going to make other choices. Some of it might be around educating, how they educate their kids. Some of it might be how they're, you know, spending their free time. Because I think one thing you hit on was people are looking for a distraction. And being able to control your attention suddenly more during those peak hours of the day, maybe you're working, maybe you aren't, or maybe you're working in a different way. And then is Netflix as important? You see some people trying to bear themselves and get through it.
Yeah. No, and I don't encourage that. And,
no,
and
but
it's obviously bad. But at the same
realizing
time,
how many hours are in the day.
Yeah, that's it.
There's 24 hours and you're like, you're now recognizing, okay, I'm at work for 8, let's say. And maybe I was bookending an hour of commute on each end. So there's 10. I got 14 more hours. I'm only going to sleep 6 or 7. I mean, some people might sleep 9. I can't do that. But
yeah. At my age, man, it's closer to the 8 or 9.
Is it? Well, yeah, that's right. But I mean, I think people are like, suddenly you got a lot, the, you know, in between even that, like if you're working 6, 8 hours a day that are productive, you don't have to commute. Okay, cool. Let's say it's 8. I got 16 more hours. If I count 8 more for sleep, I still got 8 hours. I got to figure out what to do. Am I going to blow it on mindless, you know, numbing of my brain? And I've consciously looked at that and go, there's some stuff I want to see, and I'll, you know, it's not like I'm holding myself back, but I'm not attracted to it. I'm more interested in new stuff, like new ideas and what I can do next. So that's kind of, I think people are probably going through that same metamorphosis, right?
They are. And another thing that, you know, it's been a long time since I've, you know, not that I really have any more free time, but I've still been thinking about it anyway. I mean, but I'm starting to read fiction again, which I mean, I've always loved to read, but I should never had time. I've chosen not to put the time into it, but definitely doing a, you know, a bit more of that, you know, too. And, but,
one thing I noticed that I really like out of this too, is to your, you know, you've had a lot of success recently with like some pretty big names coming on your podcast. So they seem a little bit more accessible and they're looking for their time. The one thing I noticed that's more accessible is like, there's a lot of musicians and DJs that are suddenly pumping out, you know, impromptu albums or singles, and they're going live. Like I've watched Questlove DJ, like I think 2 or 3 nights in a row, the guy's just going on live. Diplo has been going on, Diplo and Dylan Francis. Diplo did Major Lazer, like all these live broadcasts that you would never see that before. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a unique, and that may go away, but you know, may also be something that people realize that can maybe be an inexpensive way and monetize in another way, right?
Yeah, but you know, exactly. I mean, it's, look, you know, I mean, everybody out there is trying to figure out, what have I got? What's my gift? I think the key right now is, if you've got a product or service that's in demand, then by all means, double down and put your time and effort into it, because you're doing something right, you know, if you're feeling. But, you know, if you really don't, and this, you know, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I've been one for 32 years, and I do talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, quite honestly, who, you know, either their doors have been shut and they don't have any customers, or even the folks that provide sort of virtual services, the people that they really want to serve just aren't in a position to or willing to pay them. So rather than try and flaunt your stuff or offer massive discounts and devalue your service or anything, what I'm saying to people is just figure out how you can help. Forget about the money. I know it's really hard, but just forget about the money. How can you help?
That's a good
point. Who can you talk to? Whose spirits could you lift? What advice could you give? What service could you give? What could you give out for free? Just help. And people are going to remember it when this is all done. There's going to be a footprint. That's the thing about, you know, social media and everything. There's a footprint of how we have behaved through these periods of time, Michael.
Yep.
And people are going to, you know, I won't get political like I'm tempted, but, you know, it's not so easy for most people to, rewrite the record book. What you do is what you do. And those that tried to capitalize, or those that tried to prey on emotions, or those that tried to, you know, mask their good intentions, mask selling, you know, they're desperate act to sell in good intentions when they're not really. they're going to be found out, and those folks are going to be, you know, at the curb without any customers. But and the people that put their time
point. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go.
It's an interesting point you bring up, because I think everyone is adjusting how they communicate and what they communicate in the context of what's going on. Yeah. This is, you know, I think there was a lot of tribalism that was going on, and everyone's subdividing in groups, and a lot of that crap comes out of universities.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, those institutions have been corrupted, and it bleeds into politics, because politics is kabuki, and they're trying to put circles around everybody so that they know who's going to be on their team. Right. And what this has done is, I think it's affected everybody the same. Like, I saw Bill Gates, and he's like, yeah, I'm quarantined. I'm probably here till July.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, he's in a 120,000 square foot house. It's like, but he's still stuck there.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, whatever you're used to.
Bigger way, right? So I think it's affected everybody. And for sure, you know, there's pain for everyone. But I think, you know, the theme of what we're saying is dead bang on, which is, okay, get over the shock of it and start realizing what it's giving you. And don't be grateful just for the sake of it. Be grateful for the time that you get to think and have some downtime, and recognize, man, there's a lot of time in my day. My best hours are not necessarily sapped the way they used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can reapply this some way, and just know that there are platforms and there are technologies that can help you do things that you thought would never be possible 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, from this to the applications that are on it, to freelancer platforms, to marketplaces like Etsy, to YouTube and whatever else. That stuff didn't really exist to the extent it is. So we're at a good time. And that brings me also, which is, I've been trying to push the accelerate button on my new book. I had two books in my head, Tim. Mm. So my first book was Automate and Grow, which is the podcast name. The second I was thinking of writing was Startup and Grow. And then I had this other concept. So it was like a trilogy, which is Form Your Own Pack. And it's based upon the Japanese Keiretsu model, which is like a conglomerate model. And I think where people are going to rethink too is not just what business they do, but how they structure it and how they work with other people. And you talk about community. And I think we've had these loose concepts of community and what those, you know, they're kind of, they were briefly touching. Those are the best way to describe communities to me. And the idea behind Form Your Own Pack is create formal alliances and allies, cross shareholdings, figure out what the commonality as far as customers are and what services you're duplicating that you don't have to, and how you can create your own group of people that have common, I would say, ideal customer, and leverage it up as a group. And it's not that you're building 10 businesses or 30 businesses. Mm-hmm. It's that you're aligning with people in a structured way where you have a little bit of equity, there's an affiliate program built in, and you share four resources.
Yeah.
Technology and talent, data and relationships. Because those are the new oil.
Yeah.
And those are unaffected by shutdown.
They are, every single one of them. That's the thing.
So I've been trying to like push the button and get it out there, but I think it's really important. And I was supposed to do my first event March 18th for Founders Pack.
Yeah.
So now I got to move it online, which might be better. But I think for anybody that's out there, is I want you to think in terms of not just what you're doing, but then how you structure it and work with other people.
Yeah.
So those two things are going to be real important, and understand what's actually happening, which is you've got these trends and you've got these technologies you can pick, and you don't have to be an expert in them because there are experts.
No, that's exactly it. We talked about that when I had you on my show, and I thought you said it really well. I mean, it's like, you know, the reality is that we need to understand what it is we want the technology to do, and have enough understanding of the process so I can measure whether it's doing it.
That's it.
But as long as I can measure, it almost takes me back to something as simple as Facebook advertising. And, you know, I was looking at the stats last year, Michael. In 2019, Facebook scored almost $70 billion of Facebook ads, which is almost three times what Google takes in. Now, the really irony is that, not counting YouTube, but the Google AdWords is about a third of what you know, Facebook takes in. And there's a real irony there, because Google AdWords, all the people that are paying for that, they're measuring right down to the cent.
Right.
The bid system is maximized, and it's taking, Seth Godin said it takes about 98% of the profit that's on the table, but the 2% that's there is guaranteed as long as you can measure. And so big companies keep doing that, eh?
So you're, the platform Facebook, is getting the dough.
They are. They're getting 98% of the net profit.
For the attention.
For exactly.
Just for the attention.
But people are doing it. People are doing it because it's guaranteed. Like if they've got the cash flow to do it and they measure it to the penny and they're on top of it. What's going on with Facebook, and Seth's exact word was he called it, he said Facebook, this is a quote, Facebook is still getting dumb money that can't measure. And what's going on with Facebook is that people are spending on, he even described it as some weird form of
gratification,
you know,
or
not gratification, but brand, you know, I forget, but the like gist of it was, it wasn't direct like marketing. It wasn't marketing.
Right.
It was, you know, just something, but if awareness. He said, basically says, if you can't measure it, don't do it.
Interesting.
He said, exactly. Just don't do it. And, you know, and so he's saying, you know, and so, but it's the same concept with, you know, with, you know, with anything else, like if we just have to get back to figuring out how we're going to use something, make sure that we can measure. If you tell me you've got a, you know, your team has got a technical ability to do something for me to solve a problem, I just need to be able to measure how much I'm going to have to pay for that versus, right, and know how much I'll make if it's successful. And then I can, you know, I have the measurement, because the thing with Google AdWords, the reason the bid system works is because if people aren't getting, if they run the ad and they don't get at least that two, they have a point where they'll stop. And so they go to that and they think, historically, this was, I could pay this and still make a, if they pay for 2 days and they don't make the money, they stop the advertising.
Right.
And then the bid system, the price comes down.
Interesting.
Like the market just adjusts, but Facebook has a bid system, and that's really what Facebook, you know, was probably intending to try and get to, but it's so skewed and the costs are so bizarre.
Maybe.
Because
I think what people don't understand is the methodology that that they get, and they're trying they've done a pretty good job of educating people, which is these products are about awareness. These products are about consideration, and these products are at decision. And if you use them, we're going to price it accordingly. And there's some dynamic AI stuff in there, which is right. To your point, the cheapest stuff per person is attention.
Right.
But then
the problem is it's still all bid based, Michael. And
if
bunch of people are willing to just throw their money into it.
Yeah, for sure.
They don't understand
the methodology.
Yeah,
exactly. Or they don't understand the methodology.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like you can absolutely make money with Facebook advertising, and lots of people
do it. It's tough though, because approach it like it's a hammer.
Yeah, and you need to really know what you're doing.
For sure.
I'm gonna have a guy in my show in a few weeks called Dennis Hughes, become quite an expert in that area.
Yeah, I'm no expert. I just recognize what you're saying makes sense, which is, you know, every time. The cost of getting reach, which is what you're talking about, attention, it seems cheap, but you better do two other things.
That's exactly it. And you see, the problem is, in Facebook in particular, Michael, it works really well for companies that have, you know, tens of thousands of SKUs.
Right.
Because they don't even care. If they don't make money on that first sale, they couldn't care less, because they've now identified Michael as a potential customer.
Upsell, yeah.
And they can keep remarketing to you. Hey. Or if you have a product that, you know, is a consumable where people keep coming back to buy more. So you don't care about what the cost of client acquisition is.
And I think that's the point. It goes like people need a model to be successful with it. But
right, but you've got so many.
Kind of gone off on a tangent, but
yeah, I know. Tim, I do that.
I want to be conscious of your time, so I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And thank you so much for joining me today. And congrats on all the great guests you're getting.
Thanks.
I'm really envious. That's awesome. So the first thing is, you know, if you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, who are the five people that Tim is spending the most time with?
Well, certainly my wife, you know, especially now, but it's always been the truth. I think of a couple people right now are in Australia, believe it or not. So it's via this kind of stuff, but I'm spending a lot of time with Ed Andrew, who is a host of the Human Impact podcast. But also a lifetime entrepreneur, very, very successful entrepreneur. And right now doing a lot of career and life coaching. And another guy down there is named Scotty Schindler. Scotty founded a software as a service business around real estate. He started with a system that was managing one piece of property. And when he sold it 17 years later, the business was managing $1.7 trillion worth of real estate in Australia and New Zealand. The three of us, Michael, if I can put a tiny little plug in, because it's just, it's completely free. But the three of us every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific are doing a weekly call-in shows, Zoom call-in shows for, you know, for entrepreneurs. It's three guys that have lived through, it's about navigating your business through difficult times.
I love it.
Between Scotty and Ed and I, we've lived through Black Monday in 1987, right. You know, the dot-com crash, 9/11, the 2008 financial crisis. Yep. We've all had our own crises within our business. And now this, and everybody keeps saying, you know, that we've never seen anything like this before. And certainly we've not been quarantined like this in our lifetime.
For sure.
But, you know, businesses have faced massive disruption before. So we're just trying to, as gray-haired guys, just...
I love it.
That's awesome. That's a few. I don't know how to pick from the others, dude, because they're, you know, it's who did I speak to this week? This week it was Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. So.
Well, excuse me. Okay, that's awesome, though, which is great. I'm really excited for you getting those guys to talk to you, because they obviously have a lot of wisdom. And to your point, they're not going to be around forever either. Like, it's great.
No, that's it. You want to capture their legacies. Obviously, they've got it out there, but you do.
For sure. Okay, so how are you, Tim, changing the world?
Man, what I'm doing right now is just doubling down on my podcast. I used to be doing like two guest episodes a week and maybe one, what I would call a Tim Talk. I'm now going every other day, and I'm doing, you know, it's my effort to help. I don't know whether changing the world is the right way of saying it, but I just think that we're at a time when people need combinations of some inspiration, but I think just hearing confident voices, Michael, voices of people that have come through these kind of times that have practical advice and tips. That's what I loved about talking to Jack and Mark Victor and everybody else like that comes on the show, our conversation today, trying to provide practical things that people could do. And we're spending a lot of time talking about mindset, because it's just so easy to get, you know, caught up in everything that's around us.
For sure.
Especially if you're not fortunate enough to have the five people that I just described that was my week this, you know, this week. Eh? But I mean, so that's it, you know, and I'm making myself available. Anybody that wants to talk, I'm trying to respond to anybody. And, you know, I think it's just about all of us working together to come through this out the other side. And everybody's got to believe. You just have to believe we are coming through this. You know, we'll be minus a few people, unfortunately, but the vast majority of us are coming through this. And I'm so convinced, Michael, that despite all of how bad things look right now, that, you know, in a couple of years' time, we're going to look at the economic opportunity that's going to emerge from this. And we're going to go, man.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. Two ways. But the easiest is just screwthenaysayers.com. You can get, you know, catch my podcast there. Of course, if you listen to podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts, Screw the Naysayers, love to, you know, get you, you know, tuning in. And I'm really quite active, Michael, on LinkedIn. And it's just Tim Allison, and it's Allison with one L.
At LinkedIn. Terrific. And I know we're active on LinkedIn together, so.
Yeah.
You can find me, you can find Tim, or you can find both of us.
Pretty easy. Pretty easy.
Okay, the final thing, Tim, and you got some heavyweights now, so I don't know. when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting guests. We typically talk to experts or entrepreneurs about the person they serve, problems they solve, and how they got to where they are and where they're going. So who would you, Tim, like to nominate as a future guest to introduce us to?
Well,
suddenly your Rolodex is really fat.
Yeah, well, it's getting there. We got to talk about how I can be that relationship side of the pyramid with somebody and figure out how to make some money. Because that's what I'm doing with this podcast. You know, if I had to pick one person right now, I'd go back to Ed Andrew.
Okay.
He's done so much. Like, he started his business ended up, but he started a fashion business like a month before the 2008 financial crash.
Oh,
and so he lost $1 million. But you know, he's back and he's doing all these amazing things. He's worked in Australia and London, in India, And he's just honestly one of the most genuine human beings I've ever spoken with. So I happily make an introduction.
I love it. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so Ed Andrews, you've been nominated as a future guest. Tim, I really appreciate your time and your insight. Come back anytime you want. Just ping me.
That's an absolute pleasure, man.
Do you have LinkedIn Live?
I have not yet been approved. You see, I guess I don't have enough status yet to get that. I've asked three times. I don't know how many times you have to ask. So, I mean, it's like,
you got to know somebody.
You know, I don't know whether there's rhyme or reason for it. It's unfortunate because, but you know, in the end, what it's doing is I'm pretty sure it's limiting the reach of LinkedIn Live because I'm basically not, I'm not paying attention to it.
Yeah, I'm not either because
playing favorites and
it's silly. It just needs to be out there or give it to me.
Yeah,
and exactly. My friends. Yeah. Tim, have an amazing day. We will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Take care.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.